Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk even as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let us pray. Loving Father, we do thank you for the reading of your word and pray that you will administer it to our hearts, that the Spirit of God may teach us and continue to work in us after your will, that we may come to that glorious knowledge of the gospel of Christ and of that maturity in our Christian faith, wherein we are growing and maturing unto a more perfect man, that is, unto the fullness of the stature in Christ. And so we thank you and praise you, Father, and ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this afternoon is simply, Our Citizenship is in Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. I suppose if there is one thing that we truly take a great deal of pleasure in, is saying that we truly have a home in heaven because God has promised it to us. And that home is not only a home that God himself shall provide for us, but we have a relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and that we shall be with him someday. And our citizenship, as it were, our place of residence and of the society in which we will be keeping company, is of those also of like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we are. And so this is something that is truly a great blessing to us when we look at the scriptures and see those things concerning our true relationship to Christ and that place where we will be staying with him, even in heaven. Paul uses this, of course, to encourage the Philippians as well as to bring some sense of perhaps warning to them, because there were some who did not preach the divine things of Christ, that is, the true doctrines of Christ. For instance, the Judaizers of the day wanted to add to the scriptures concerning Christ and say that circumcision was still a matter of rule or law that they must do if they were to take up their part in the kingdom of God. But we know that that is not the true case, that the Lord never put such rule of law upon any, but rather he did teach that the kingdom of heaven was to be obtained by faith, and the righteousness of God is by faith rather than by the doing of any aspect of the law, whether it be circumcision or something else. And so we find that he tells them, for instance, at the very beginning of this chapter, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, to write the same things to you to me is indeed, to me indeed is not irksome or troublesome, but for you it is safe. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So he gave that certain warning that there were some who taught other than the true doctrines of Christ. By this time in the chapter, he is bringing a certain appeal for unity among the believers, if you will, and for them to be fully instructed in divine things. And so, as we see here in verse 15, it says, "Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." And so the believers were instructed here to go on in their maturity and to receive that full instruction which is in Christ Jesus and continue to press on unto that mature man in the Lord Jesus Christ. As many as be perfect, or as many as would be thoroughly instructed in those divine things. And so what must they do? Then they must heed the words of the apostle. The words of the apostle was that he would preach Christ only and him crucified. And so we find that the Lord was to be held up as that one wherein salvation was given and offered unto all men, Jew and Gentile alike. The word for perfect here is the word teleo, and it's simply the Greek word which carries the sense of meaning to perfect in the sense that to go on unto that understanding which is in divine things. That is to be thoroughly equipped in those divine truths. It doesn't go on. Doesn't mean this in the sense that we are perfect and without sin. It has the more of the sense of being fully instructed in those deep or divine things concerning Christ. And so as believers, we know that if we are to have a full understanding of Christ, then we must fully immerse ourselves in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be fully instructed in those divine things. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, that is, would go on unto that perfection which is in Christ, go on unto that instruction which is in Christ alone. Be thus minded, and if anything, be ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. Nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, he says, let us walk by the same rule. And so he encouraged them to go on unto this maturity, this mature walk, and to attain that relationship in Christ through those divine teachings of that he himself offered unto them. He says, let us not lose that part of the race we have already run. This is also a very important aspect of it, that wherever we have come so far by faith, let us continue on. I think it was Doug Oldham that even sung a song like that. We have come this far by faith, trusting in the Holy Word. I don't know if you remember Doug Oldham when he was used to sing, but he used to sing a song similar to that. And we recognize that as Christians, we do have to go on unto maturity. We do have to press forward. And as the Apostle Paul often gave that allusion to the Olympic race of pressing on toward the mark of that high calling which is in Christ Jesus, we find that we have to keep our eyes on the finish line. It seems like that today is very popular. Everybody's doing these races, this 5K, 10K, 50K, all kinds of marathon races that they are doing for different kinds of funding and charity work and so on and so forth. But the believer's race is much more noble than that even. It is a race which we are running, a marathon race which we are running, and we are keeping our eyes on the prize which is ahead of us, which is Christ. And I trust that you are looking toward that prize. There are many distractions, aren't they, in this race. There are many distractions. We find that every day when we get up and we get out there in the world, there are a lot of things that can come our way and distract us. A lot of worldly things even, which sometimes we are drawn to. But we know that if we allow that the flesh, the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we allow them to get our attention and to pull us aside, we will not be able to fully attain the prize as quickly as we desire to. That is that we will be somehow diverted, as it were. And we know we have to keep our eyes on the prize ahead. And in some of the Olympic races, one of the classic rule is that when you're running a race in the Olympics, you cannot look at your other opponent. You cannot glance to your opponent might be just coming up on your shoulder or something. You dare not glance, because even a slightest distraction to your opponent may cause you to slow down or to fumble in some way, and you will not win the prize. You will not finish the race as you wished you had. And in our Christian lives, we know that there are many things that can distract us, and we dare not do that. Because why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. It is not in this world. But our citizenship is in heaven, so we must keep our eyes on divine things. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. And there isn't any one of us here that haven't gotten our eyes off from the Lord for a moment. I mean, we've all made that error. We've all somehow slipped along the way once or twice. But find that it's necessary, to keep going. And to keep pressing onward, and not to become fully distracted by those things which sometimes allure us. In verse 2, nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, for what have we attained? We have attained this for sure, that Christ Jesus died for our sins. That God, who loved us so much, sent His only begotten Son, and He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that God so loved us that Christ not only died, but He finished that work. This knowledge which we have attained of Christ is one which we cannot afford to lose, you see. What we have attained of Christ is those things which are by grace and through faith. By grace through faith. That's how we have attained them. We haven't attained them by our own works. We haven't attained them by worldly allurements. We haven't attained them by listening to false teachers. No, we've attained those things by Christ. Christ has shown them those things unto us. And he says, nevertheless, as to that which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What is that rule? It is by faith. Let us walk by faith. Let us continue. Let us not listen to those who would distract us. Let us not listen to false teachers. Let us not listen to any man who would tell us there is some other rule of faith and practice other than that which we know, which is in Christ Jesus. No, we have attained these things by walking by faith. Let us continue to do so. And let us mind the same things. Let us pay all attention to those things which are in Christ. And so he says, let us not lose that part of the race we have already run. See, some of those were being affected by the Judaizer teachers, by those teachers which were saying, well, the circumcision is required, or some aspect of the law. And some of them may have been distracted by that. And may have gone back to say, well, maybe I should follow this rule of law concerning circumcision. But Paul says, no. You don't need to do that. Let us not lose that ground which we have already gained. But follow those who you have in front of you for an example, including himself, by the way. Verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them who walk even as ye have us for an example. Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul, any who had were an example of these same things, he says, keep them also for your example. That they have come this way by faith, that they have believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have come by the way of grace, and do not be distracted by those who are false teachers. For what do? But they live for a different rule and a different practice. And it is not divine things that press them forward. It is rather those things of the flesh and of the world. And so secondly, he says, others walk as enemies of the cross. Others who live other than those things which are in Christ Jesus, others who follow other teaching other than that which is in Christ, are enemies of the cross. And now, what were some of those? Well, we have the example of those who were of the concision, that is, who taught circumcision. And he tells them to beware of those who were evil workers. Beware of the concision, for we are not the circumcision who worship God, that kind of circumcision, but rather we are the circumcision of the Spirit of God, not of the flesh. And so he says, beware of those, for they would lead you astray. And so others walk as enemies of the cross. If one adds anything to the Scriptures other than that which is in Christ, then they have made them an enemy of the cross. They have made themselves an enemy of the cross. And they teach other than that which is in Christ. And so we can't afford to compromise upon the things of Christ. For if we do, it is a distraction. We have left off pursuing, as it were, that goal which Christ has given unto us. And so he tells them to be careful. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul was greatly moved over these things. He was very sorrowful over these things, as though he were weeping constantly over these things. Remember, he did have a great heart and a desire for not only the Gentiles, but his own brethren, the Jewish people as well. And he desired for them to know Christ. And he desired for them to walk after the things of the Lord. But there were many who still were not. And it distressed him greatly. And that he might even say that they are the enemies of the cross because of the things that they are teaching. And he says, verse 19, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, what does this remind us of? Well, basically, it tells us that their goal and their view of things is not heavenly, but it is worldly. It is of the flesh. And there is many things of the flesh that we can get involved in. There are many things of the flesh that we can do. It is, we might say, well, there is the gray line. There are those things that the Scriptures isn't exactly clear about. Is it okay to do those things? Well, one can, but it does not mean that you won't become distracted by doing them. It does not mean that there won't be some hindrance. It does not mean that there won't be some sense that you won't be able to live up to the goal or aspiration that you want to in Christ because of them. Why else would someone devote themselves totally and to the Lord and without any admixture of error or any appearance of evil, except that they want to give of their best to the Master, to do the very best that they can to serve the Lord? And so it is that we find those who, of course, taught such doctrines as circumcision was much more serious. I mean, it meant going back to the law. What kind of doctrines are people teaching today that divert away from the grace of God? There are many who teach a prosperity gospel. They are teaching that in some sense, if you are not wealthy, if you are not getting along very well financially, then there must be something wrong with your faith. There are others who will teach, you can be healed of anything you want to be healed of. God is a God who heals, and there must be something wrong with your faith if you're not fully healed of every physical problem you have. And there are many who add to that also, you must trust God to heal you of everything. And, you know, these faith healers, they're very prominent in some of the things they have to say about those things. So, whether it's the prosperity gospel or some kind of faith healing or signs and wonders and miracles and kinds of things if those things aren't happening all the time in your life, then there must be some deficiency about your faith. And they will make certain pronouncements about those kinds of things. Or they may throw some other kind of guilt upon an individual and place human responsibility upon you to do some sense of divine thing. Whether it's some weeping statue somewhere that you're supposed to aspire to, or some other kind of spirituality which is basically only the doctrines of men. We must be very careful. We must be very careful to keep our faith in Christ and Christ alone. As far as I know, there is no faith healers which have gone into the hospitals and rid themselves of the patients with all their great faith that they have sought to persuade others of. As far as I know, there is no prosperity gospel person which has made all people rich by their great faith of prosperity. Nor of those who hold any other aberrant type of doctrine which is not of the doctrines of Christ. No, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. The righteousness of God is by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for faith, for righteousness. And we find that all the true doctrines of Christ are those doctrines which come by grace through faith, by the Lord Jesus Christ alone and by His finished works. It does not mean that God couldn't heal you if He so desired to. It does not mean that God couldn't give you financial prosperity if God saw fit to do it. But He also put some other things in place, such as we have to work very hard by the sweat of our brow if we're going to get some of those things. Or it might be necessary for us to use the available means to keep ourselves well and healthy as long and as possible as we can. And we also must be content in whatsoever state or condition the Lord has sought to place us in. Even as the Apostle Paul found it necessary sometimes to work by the sweat of his brow, mending tents or making tents, as opposed to receiving help from some church. Yes, God desires of us to know what He says within His Word. And we must take those things in purity and in faith. And the Judaizers and the false teachers of the day were living after their worldly appetite. And it says, whose end is destruction. The end of those who are enemies of the cross is destruction. Whose God is their appetite. And whose glory is their shame. They do it for their own glory, and to that end it is in shame, and they mind what? They mind only earthly things. If we keep our eyes too much on this world, we will find that we will become distracted by the allurements of it. You may live in a modest home, and it may be exactly the home God wants you to live in. You may live in a very nice, wonderful mansion, and it may be the home God wants you to live in. But neither of those indicate that you have more faith than the next person. Faith belongs to God, and He gives it. It is a gift of God. And He requires of us to trust in Him. He requires us to find maturity in that walk of faith, in Him, and not in ourselves. Why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. The place where we truly belong is the citizenship of heaven, not of this earth. Verse 20 and 21, he says, our true citizenship is in heaven and not of this world. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come from heaven the second time. He came the first time from heaven. He's going to come the second time from heaven too. Only this time he'll come back with great glory and power. And he's going to come to fully glorify or redeem those he has called unto himself. And so our citizenship and that second coming of which the Lord, the King James uses the word conversation, our conversation, well, the manner of life that we have on this earth is somewhat different than that which we will have in heaven. And this word for manner of life, for conversation, is somewhat different than is used in other places. And it's truly talking about our citizenship in heaven. That's what it's talking about. This old English word sometimes was translated to mean how we were living as in a sense of conduct, your manner of life. How you were living in your conduct. But that is not the meaning of the word here. The meaning of the word here has to do with our citizenship. Our true citizenship is in heaven. We're only here for a short period of time. 70, except by reason of strength. And the reason of strength may be that somebody might live, well, 10, 20, maybe longer, beyond the 70. But there are far and few between. And they all succumb, eventually, to the natural degradation of the body, that it grows old and corrupts and passes away. But our citizenship will not pass away. Our citizenship is in heaven, you see. So here it is. Here, let's underscore here. Let us underscore. Therefore, let us therefore, as many as need and realize that we must go on unto a perfection in Christ, let us realize that we are citizens of heaven. And so that is the true thing which our goal is to be on. Nevertheless, he says, as to that which we have already attained, he says, you've already attained something. Let us remember that. Don't let any of that slip. Because why? Because our citizenship is in heaven. Go on further. You haven't yet fully attained, even as I haven't fully attained. But you can go on further, and if you will, you will realize more and more of your true citizenship, which is in heaven. And then he says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them also who are examples, even as I am an example. Use those people as an example, as a witness of those things that you seek to attain as well. And realize that you are a citizen of heaven, even as they are a citizen of heaven, and you will someday be with them in heaven. We all talk about wanting to see somebody in heaven. Or some will say, I want to see Paul. I want to see Moses. I want to see Abraham. I want to see Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus. Well, you know, let us remember. This is how we can be assured in our faith and go on unto maturity to realize these things, because our citizenship is in heaven. That's where it is. Our citizenship is in heaven. And all those who teach something other than that true doctrines of Christ, which is by grace through faith, which is the righteousness of God by faith, any who teach other than that, their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things. And they are not citizens of heaven. They are not. Well, you say, well, what about that person that's just kind of mixed up just a little bit? You know, they're only mixed up just a little bit. Well, I would say to you, if they're mixed up just a little bit, sooner or later they're going to get unmixed. And they're going to come back to the truth. And if they don't, then they never were of the truth. Now, see, this is kind of one of those places that's really is God's business, isn't it? We shouldn't get mixed up in that too much. We should be looking at the prize. Not that we don't want to encourage somebody else who's kind of mixed up and say, well, won't you come along with me? Remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress? He came across pliable and obstinate, and he tried to convince them, But pliable was just too pliable, and obstinate was just too obstinate, and so they went back to the city of destruction. And Mr. Worldly Wise Man, he was just too worldly and didn't want to have anything to do with it. You're going to come across people who will be like that. You can try to direct them in the right direction, but don't get your eye off the prize yourself. Stay the course. Keep moving forward. You know, it's really, that's God's business with them. And so if you would be a citizen of heaven, we must live with heaven in view. We must realize that we have a heavenly city and an eternal home. We shouldn't live as though this was our permanent residence here. Nor the mortuary. Nor that little stone they put over your grave. None of that is, you know, that's for somebody else. That's not for you. You know, we do all of that sort of thing, you know, because it's kind of a cultural and necessary thing to do for family and friends and loved ones. We have to do all that stuff for them. But, you know, your real eternal home and city is in heaven. Not in that little plot of ground that at the end of days. An eternal place and a body, soul, spirit. An eternal place with a body, soul, and spirit. God has promised us that our citizenship is in heaven. And what's he say? Verse 21, who shall change our lowly body? We'll get a body, but it will be a heavenly body, an incorruptible body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15:28. Well, read the whole chapter. It's great. We find that our bodies will be changed. And our spirit goes back to God who gave it to us. Yes, our life and spirit belongs to God. Body, soul, spirit belongs to God. And so we have a true citizenship which is in heaven and not in this world. And so we must realize that if that being the case, then we have much to live up to. We have much to live up to. And so we should do that to the very best of our ability. Not as though we are saving ourselves, but it is as though we are working out our salvation for the glory of God. We are working it out, revealing who we truly are in Christ. To a world, a watching world, that is looking to see if we're genuine. Our citizenship is in heaven. Let us pray. Loving Father, these words come to our hearts more strongly than perhaps we would like to admit, to cause our hearts to be made much more aware of where we truly belong and to whom we belong. I pray, Father, your blessing of your word unto us to encourage us and to minister to us of those things which, Lord, you must teach us along the way. And so we pray for that divine teacher, the Holy Spirit, to impress these upon us. For it is in his name, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. 442, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. 442. Burn. receive whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Heavenly Father, just keep us watching and looking toward You, toward heaven, to that place of our true citizenship, that we realize that You are seeking to do all those things which are good and necessary in our lives for the perfecting of our very walk with You, the maturing of that walk, which is to bring us ever closer to the realization of Christ in us, the hope of glory, waiting that day when You will at last bring us into the celestial city. Thank You, Father, for Your love and grace and mercies to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.